Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky have a battle of Pinot Noir once again, but this time they pit New Zealand versus Chile as the Chilean Undraga Cibres Gran Reserva Pinot Noir takes on the New Zealand Waipara Springs Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Good evening, folks. Good evening, Rob. How are you now?
Well, how am I now as opposed to how I was earlier?
How are you now?
I'm fine now. I was fine earlier.
Good.
F-I-N-E fine. That's right.
He's been working on that hooked on phonics spelling. Yeah. Section.
I don't think that's what that's for. Anyway, also on the show tonight, folks, is the Triple B.
Good evening, everyone.
Now, the show is also starring Bo the Wonder Dog. Well, I'm sure you'll hear in and out during the show making dumbass noises.
Chomping on the dog bone.
Yes.
Knocking a mic over.
Knocking a mic over, maybe jumping on somebody and causing a lot of injuries. Could be. Could be many things. He's very talented.
Mm-hmm. Poor Bobo.
It starts early.
So, on tonight's show, we have a new battle of Pinot Noir. The last time we did this, we had California versus Italy, and the Italian that tasted like a Syrah won. Go figure. But on tonight's show, what I've done is I have chosen two places that Becky loves Pinot Noir from, dumb dog, and we are posing one from Chile, and that would be the Undraga, their Cibres Gran Reserva. So the Cibres is their line. So Undraga is the winery. The Cibres line and their Gran Reserva Pinot Noir. Okay? And that's from Leda Valley in Chile. And we're putting that up against the other place Becky likes Pinot Noir. Is New Zealand. Well, she likes Pinot Noir from everywhere. But she really likes it from New Zealand, and so do we, by the way. Not to single Becky out. But this is a winery from... well, called Waipara Springs. And this is their Pinot Noir from Waipara Valley. So they named their winery after the valley. How clever.
Well, maybe they named after a spring that may or may not be in the valley.
Could be. Could be.
Maybe it's a spring on the hillside that leads down into the valley.
It's spring that up on top has like a hazardous waste dump and then just kind of runs down.
Maybe they named it after recurring times of the year. That comes after winter before summer. Maybe.
It could be.
Maybe not.
No.
Season.
That'd be a cool name.
Yes.
It would be.
Yes, it could be.
But it's a beautiful time to be in Wayfarer.
It could be.
In the spring.
Yeah.
In the valley.
And now it's springtime.
I was going to say before you started singing that I am really impressed that we're doing this episode of two wines that both have the potential to be good. Because that's
in theory.
In theory and potentially most likely good. Instead of choosing two wines that we're going to hate and to see which one we hate the most.
Or hate the least.
Now, are you,
do you feel any
agitation
that he's picked two wines from regions that you like, trying to draw your ire?
No, I don't feel that. I'm more like there has to be a catch.
Is there a catch? Well, the catch is, last week we drank Freak Show, and that tasted like shit. So, I didn't want to do that. And last night I drank a whole damn bottle of Turley's 19 Juvenile by myself and passed out. So, I needed a lighter wine today anyway. So, there are reasons behind why I do the things I do. But also, I felt Pinot was on my mind. We had curated several Pinots. This is just a drop in the bucket. What is it? Laipara Springs or the hell? No. Spur shit you bought? Lapspur?
Lapspur.
Lapspur, yes. It didn't make the cut. So when it'll take on a Moldavian Pinot Noir, probably and lose next week. Yes.
How much did these cost, and where are they from?
Okay, from Chile and New Zealand.
No, where did you buy them?
Oh, wine.com. The Undoraga, it is $12.99.
Oh, wow.
And the Wapra Springs is $17.99.
So, value / entry priced wines.
Well, the Undoraga, the question is it a Apatagua clone? I don't know.
Ooh.
Probably not.
Different region.
I also want to look right now and see if they're both available still.
I believe they are. They are.
Wow.
Because I haven't. I bought these fairly recently. So.
Are these the ones that... So, I think I've talked about this on the show. So, because of COVID, I've been home with our boys for the past year. Mm-hmm. And there's been differing requirements for FedEx. Like, they were just leaving wine on the porch. Occasionally, they'll ask for my name. Every once in a blue moon, we'll get someone that makes me go find my ID and show it to them. And as we've discussed on the show, I am 8 months pregnant. And so when they show up at the house and want to see my ID, I'm very tempted to sometimes be like, don't even worry about it.
Well, they've asked me before, and I just said, no, give me that. And I took it from them. I said, get the fuck out of here. That's my name. This is my house. You think a 20-year-old bought a house and ordered wine on wine? Yeah, it's a perfect.
Wine.com.
Hey, guys, we're going to have a rager. Let's order this wine. A week and a half later, it'll be delivered. Then we can party. No, it's a perfect crime.
But they always show up. Bo's outside. It's a whole thing. Now we know our FedEx guy. He brings dog treats for Bo. But it never fails for me to be like in a conference call or like I need to do something with the boys, whatever. But then, Rob, for these deliveries, Scott, these were my gift.
They were.
They were a gift to me.
And this show is a gift to you.
Mm-hmm.
As am I. So, folks.
So, again, there's a catch somewhere. Scott knows this.
I'm on Becky's side on this.
There's a catch somewhere. We're just waiting for it. We just have to figure it out.
It could be. Who can say? I don't know. Maybe Wilford reviewed them.
I didn't have him, but before when I said this was my... But now that I said it's my gift, he's like, okay.
No, it's just a Pinot Farm.
I'm
making an appearance tonight, and it's a Pinot show, and it's a Pinot Farm.
I think half the catch is that I'm barely taking a sip of the wine.
There's that.
And probably these are going to be both exceptional.
I think that's a strong term. Well, they're both red. We'll start off with that. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to start off with the Chilean Undoraga, which sounds somewhat Russian, here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the first Pinot Noir in the firing line is the Undoraga Cibres Grand Reserva Pinot Noir. Undoraga, they have multiple lines. It's not that uncommon in Chile. I am not familiar with them personally. I've never heard of them before.
Were they just recommended on wine.com?
Yeah, Jeff told me. No, I don't know. I just ran across it. You know, it's 10 months on oak, though. We know that.
Yeah, French. I'm assuming.
French could be, yes.
We can't read the tasting notes. They're not in
English. No, they're in Spanish. But nevertheless.
We do know that it pairs well with chicken, pasta, seafood.
Fish. Soft cheese.
Oh, soft cheese. Good job on that.
Yes, the winemaker's notes on wine.com. This wine pairs well with red and white meat, pasta, fish, and soft cheese. So what doesn't it pair with?
Tomaine.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's like, I almost thought it said genitals. It's actually gentle tannins. But if you look at gentle tannins too quickly, you think it says genitals. I went, that's just inappropriate.
Again, you put in some work with the Hooked on Phonics. You need a little more.
Well, anyway, Becky, did you want to read the winemaker's notes? I have to read the review that it has. So, or they say critical acclaim. So what's...
The winemaker notes, this cool climate Pinot Noir is from the Lomas de Leyda estate in the Leyda Valley. It was made using grapes which were harvested early when they were at optimum ripeness. This is an elegant wine, ruby-colored with medium intensity. The aromas are bursting by red fruit, Morello cherries, strawberries, and fresh herbs. On the palate, it reveals Morello cherries and pomegranate, complemented by gentle tannins and fine oak.
Morello cherries.
Fresh, elegant, and persistent on the finish.
With Morello cherries.
I know. I thought that I had, like, skipped a line.
It has. Did you know it has Morello cherries?
And what's a Morello cherry?
It's a cherry that's a Morello. It's a type of cherry. I've
heard that obviously.
Before.
Thank you so much.
It's Morello cherries.
What are the cherries that you put in bourbon that are fancy?
Those are cocktail cherries. What the hell is this?
You know what I'm talking about, but they're like kind of
is
expensive.
It called Morello? It's not called Morello.
Those aren't Morello cherries.
Maraschino. There's that. Mm.
No, but you know what I'm talking about. They're like kind of expensive.
Luxor.
Luxor. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're ridiculous.
Luxardo.
Luxardo.
Yeah.
Well, and they're basically maraschino cherries. So.
Yeah, but they're like $20 for a jar.
I know. That's the sucker's bet. Okay, they're nice maraschino cherries. Okay.
So, but anyways. Those are the only two kind. And Bing, I guess, a Bing cherry.
Yes. Black cherry.
Oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at Morello?
I'm sure he is. That well, he does that, I'm going
I'll
to.
I'll read the next
Actually,
part.
They are. They're a form of maraschino cherries.
Yeah, there we go.
So this is
the original.
The second review
cherries.
Says a fruity
and
straightforward red with strawberry and lemon character, medium body, and a clean and fresh finish.
Yes, this is
that's from James Suckling,
Shove
and it.
It
gets a 90.
And so
then we're
going
to move on to the nose.
You're a butthole. This is James Suckling, and she didn't properly read my review, so I will read it again. And I said it's a fruity and straightforward red with strawberry and lemon character, medium bodied, and a clean, fresh finish. I did not taste the Morello cherries, apparently. I tasted lemon. So those two things taste so similar if you
Isn't it kind
try.
Of disappointing that there's no Morello cherry in his critical acclaim?
Isn't it so disappointing that he's considered a critical and gives acclaim to things? So. 90 of James's points, which means aggregate score.
Rob read a review to me. Was it last night?
Yes.
Rob read a review to me last night, and it said something about an oyster shell. Yeah. That's what it tasted like. And he was like, guess the reviewer. And I was like, James Suckling.
Oyster shells, yes. And a red wine. Yeah. But that was a very nice red wine.
Yeah. That was a really fun game, though. I think we should do that as a potpourri.
We shall.
It was guess the reviewer and guess the score.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun.
That it would be fun.
Yeah.
One of them was the 2016 Petrus, where Jimmy gave it 100.
Oh.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. So, in the glass, the nose, and by the way, tonight, the glasses we're using Riedel Extreme, Venom Extremes for the Chilean Pinot, and then we're using the Vivian, or Riedel Vivian for the New Zealand, and I chose that, I'm sure Becky will ask this, because I felt that I gave the cheaper wine potentially the better glass, theoretically.
I was going to ask
the fancier glass.
I was going to ask.
The
don't you think that the Vivant, the bulbous, is a little more proper for a Pinot, where
it's extreme, man.
Is maybe not going to amplify the aromas as well?
I don't know. We'll find out. Here we go.
Let's go.
It certainly looks the part.
It does look like a Pinot, and it smells like a Pinot.
I love, something that I love about a Pinot is the... when you get a nice one, the color of it. It's so pretty.
Well, and, you know, in other red wines, you'd say, oh, why is that so light? But in Pinot, it's what you expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just...
translucent.
You know what you're looking at.
Yep.
Dark crimson hue.
Yeah,
whoa,
really pretty.
There's... is that... that's full-on funk headed towards Barnyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of... I don't want to call it Morello cherries, but a little slight cherry, cordial, and menthol.
I also smell, which I had double checked like four times. I'm smelling the right one. There's a definite citrus, grapefruity nose in there.
Could it be lemon?
Citrus is what I said. But yes. Yes.
You're agreeing with James Suckling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're of the same mind.
Mm. Oh, no.
I've been studied.
But yeah, there's some definite funk in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a promising start.
It is a promising start.
It's a promising start.
Yes.
We have often been disappointed by the nose, but it is a promising start.
Well, let's Chile has not been letting us down.
No, let's go.
The price point makes me skeptical, but I'm very...
It's Apatagua.
It's fairly, slightly weighty on the palate. It has an unusual meaty minerality. It almost tasted like a grilled sausage, kind of like that fatty. Normally you would say something stupid like that, but it tastes like that.
Like meaty?
Well, yeah, if you've ever had like, what the hell is that damn sausage that, it's the one that they put fucking cinnamon and shit in. It's out of Northern Ohio.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Oh, you're talking Stanley's.
Yeah, I think so. And they're horrible. But
I love Stanley's.
Well, it's not bad in a, well, I know you would, but it's not bad in a wine. But it's a that slight beefy, or not beefy, a meaty minerality, and then... You have elements of clove. You have not clove. More nutmeg.
It's an earth and spice.
Yeah.
Really straightforward. This is not overly complex.
No, it is a little bit. There's a little bit of acidity, that kind of.
Pause it for a second.
What's wrong?
So, it's paused. This is not related to wine. Henry's teacher last year was 22 years old. She was a baby. She looked like she was 15, right?
Sure.
Super sweet. Really liked her. She just got engaged.
Okay.
She just announced she's pregnant.
Well, that's just...
So, our kids...
That's why she's getting engaged.
This baby... And Henry's 15-year-old teacher are going to be in the same class. And we're going to be at functions with her. And we are like, I'm 15 years older than her.
And I am old enough to be her father?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So that means she was having premarital sex. That's just inappropriate. I don't believe in that. I got all that on tape, so that's all right.
Alicia just messaged me that we are old and she is so young.
Well, at least we know that the triple B is paying attention on the show tonight. So,
now what?
She's multitasking.
I can't get over that. Well, she messaged me. It's like 9:30. I wanted to make sure everything was okay.
Yeah, you're just gossiping about a young trollop. It's just, will she wear white? No, she won't. Scarlet. Put a scarlet A on her dress. Damn it. Well, I mean, we always shame the woman. I mean, we should shame the man, too.
You always shame the woman.
No, I don't do that. Shame the man, too.
Only if he's a wine critic.
That's true. I don't think he would have had the chutzpah to get that going before.
You know. The chutzpah?
Chutzpah or chutzpah. I don't know. Anyway, the wine. Finally. Becky was too incensed to gossip, and she didn't realize I never paused it. It has a little bit of an acidity that pops in and out that kind of makes the wine slightly... It removes a little bit of harmony from the wine.
Something that I was thinking is normally you have like your front, mid, they just kind of blend together. It to me, this almost stops. Like there's like a very distinct front palette.
There is.
And then there's Morello almost cherry. Like a minute, and then you have... Do you feel like that?
The finish isn't pronounced, and I think that with the acidity that pops in and out, it kind of... I wouldn't say it muddles it. It just it takes away a little bit of a... It kind of stops it from having any kind of real sheen to it, any kind of soakiness to it. It kind of derails it slightly. It's not a bad wine by any stretch of the imagination. It tastes fine. It's an okay drinker. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had things that are, you know, better and worse from Chile. I mean, I think back when we had Santa Carolina, or I'm sorry, Santa Carolina, their Pinot. I mean, we like Santa Carolina, but their Pinot is not great. It's not bad either, but
it was acceptable.
It was more than acceptable.
It was good.
This is somewhere in that range of quality.
But I like this, and I agree that the acidity is kind of unsettles the wine, and it's not this bracing acidity. It's just
acidity, it's just little pops,
and it kind of comes in and out.
It does, absolutely, Scott. It's like from the front into the mid, boom, little pop, and then it hits right towards the mid is going out, and then it hits a little bit of acidity. Yeah, you're right; it just pops in and out. That's what I was kind of saying, and so that just kind of takes away any kind of harmoniousness that this wine was going to show. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't show that.
Maybe we just need to think outside the box and think that
what?
That acidity is what defines the front palate in the mid palate starting into the finish.
But it doesn't really work in that fashion.
It really doesn't work
in that fashion. No, it's just like a pop. It's a little pop rock. You know, it's not spritzy, but it just is enough to just throw you off a little bit. You're like, oh, okay, this is what this is. Oh, what was that? Now I'm going, what was that?
Particularly after you had the acidity in the front of it.
Yeah.
And then when it pops up the middle, you're like, it's just an oddball right there.
A little bit.
It'd have been better if the acidity was just kind of there all along.
Or not there at all.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I had Leda. And it's from Leda Valley as well. Because
it's Leda from Leda?
Yeah, and it's $15.99.
It's hard to remember that.
No, we've had Leda a few times. Becky and I have. We haven't had it on the show, partly because I want to keep it for myself. Leda is actually quite nice. And it is harmonious. It's not all that wildly interesting, at least the base one. I have the single vineyard too. But it's at least let's say it's a three-note pony. All those three notes are very nice to drink.
Yeah.
And that's important. When we're talking about this price range, you're not going to get a 12-note pony. Say you're getting a 4-note pony. Okay, but are those 4 notes actually in tune? That's the question.
And that's the case with any wine. That's what differentiates good from really good, when you've got that harmony. And some wines are not made to be complex. This wine is not made to be complex. Acidity just keeps it from being, as Rob says, harmonious.
And on the finish, the oak comes in, and the oak is slightly harsh.
You think?
And pushes through a little bit.
I was just about to say I really like the way the combination of the oak and the tannins. I like that little spiciness on the end that I think you're criticizing.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the oak comes in, and it, as Becky says, it has a bit of a curl. It curls back. It has the little acidic, slight sour curl. That's how she refers to it, and that's a very apt way to describe this.
Something nice that I will say about this wine is the mouthfeel is very nice. I'm not as much a fan of the taste of it, but the mouthfeel is pretty on point. It's very impressive for a $12.99 bottle. That's something, that's a redeeming quality I would give.
Describe the mouthfeel.
I think it's approaching a silky mouthfeel.
It's approaching. One thing though, currentvintagewine.com is the 2015 vintage.
Oh, wow. What's this?
The 2015 vintage.
Oh.
So I think they're showing 19 and 20 on their website, but they're not selling that on wine.com. So this is, we sell whatever is for sale on wine.com, we consider the current vintage. And it's not discounted, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
So is this maybe a part and parcel of a little more age in the bottle? It might be, but it's not showing as tasting older.
It really isn't.
No.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah.
I don't think until this point you said it was the 15.
Hmm.
That was a... That's the one thing that I didn't tell you about.
How dare you?
I didn't realize that till earlier tonight when I ordered it. I probably wouldn't have ordered it at 2015, but
no, I don't think it's necessarily spent.
It's not spent. It doesn't taste old. But the Unterrager doesn't really have much of a presence. At least the Sieberis doesn't have much of a presence on wine.com. So there's this and one from like 2008. There isn't much stuff. Actually, the Waper Springs doesn't have that much of a presence either.
Hmm.
It's a little unusual.
I hadn't heard of either of them.
I had not either. Yeah, Unterrager seemed that the big portfolio that they really have, you'd think that they would, but maybe they're just not in the North American market much yet.
Yeah.
Could be. I don't know.
Maybe they found their way to market other ways in our fair country.
It could be. It might be some other brand, a label. Just like Sieberis. I've never seen this, but maybe they one of the other ones, because there's several, like six or seven. So, well, folks, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a break, because then we're going to come back, and we're going to review the Waipra Springs right here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, moving on to the Waipra Springs. And I was criticized off air. You said review.
Criticized.
I meant drink. I meant...
It's generally easier to review wine when you actually drink it first.
Right, whatever.
Although back. I think some wine critics, I don't think that stops them.
That's a very good point, yes. Yes. I wrote one line. And, well, although he was not too far off, because there's little pops of acidity, so the lemon could be... I mean,
lemon on the nose.
Yeah.
Not on the palate.
No.
So, I'd be a little concerned if there was lemon in a Pinot Noir.
Yeah. Yeah. Although,
I mean,
some
if it
of
was
them.
That acidic?
We've had a few of the best served with lemon. So, Waipra Springs, they do have an internet presence. You cannot in any way, shape, or form print off facts and figures about their wine. I'm sorry. But they do have a cafe, and they're very proud of that. It's like more like what's the restaurant that's up at Easton? That stupid thing that's the wine
Cooper
place.
Hawk.
Yeah, they act like they're Cooper Hawk. Like, come and eat our chicken salad, and it's like, I don't.
They might be.
These are all the wines you can buy. I don't know why Wilford's there, but I'm not. I've never been to New Zealand, and they won't send me anywhere. Right?
On Thursdays, we put walnuts in the chicken salad.
Just like anybody that's a moron would sound like Wilford. Yeah.
It's
like,
well, it's funny you say that.
Hi. Hey, guess what? You can have fajitas on Thursday. It's like, fucking dickheads, you're a winery, aren't you? Or you have a winery, or somebody's going to come to your fucking stupid cafe. I don't know. Anyway, what's it? It's like a Waipra Springs Winery and Cafe. No. Nobody comes to your fucking cafe.
Well, I think that's a thing, though, because if you think about... never mind. I was getting him. I was going to say that.
Camus? They don't do that.
No, I was going to say something different, but I don't want to talk about them on air.
No, say something different.
Who do you want? Don't want to talk about?
We love when you say something different.
I don't.
Hocking Hills Winery.
No, I was going to bring up Blythestone, but I don't want to talk about Blythestone.
No, Blythestone Joe.
Yeah.
Hey, douche.
Yeah, I actually am. No airtime given.
No. Fuck you, buddy. Anyway, I don't wear masks.
I started to think I wanted to talk about
because
it.
Because I'm a total reject. Yes, you are, dumbass. Yeah. Anyway, so. Folks, don't worry about that.
So, I just went on the Waipra Springs
did you
website, and I'm looking at a gorgeous platter of meat with some type of green veg that I'm not really sure I recognize. It's gorgeous.
Well, I didn't say it wasn't good food. It's just kind of a dumb website.
It looks nice from here.
Looks delicious.
I'm just a hateful person.
You are hateful.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the Waypress Springs. Becky, would you like to read the winemaker's notes?
Oh, the winemaker's notes.
Yes, and you can even read the reviews, if you so choose.
Okay. Dark crimson in hue, ripe forest berry fruit aromas with savory spicy notes. Full, well-structured tannins with balance and weight, creating an elegant, smooth finish. Food, red meats and game meats, particularly duck. And critical acclaim, Wine Spectator 92. Fragrant and distinctive with effusive white pepper, smoked paprika, Earl Grey tea, and nutmeg notes that mingle well with muscular and dense blackberry and plum flavors. A touch of minerality lingers on the finish with the tannins firming up. Drink now through 2030.
And by the way, folks, we just smelled it. Yes, it does have effusive white pepper, smoked paprika, Earl Grey, and nutmeg notes. It absolutely does.
That's, oh, yeah, the Earl Grey is.
It's the most interestingly weird nose I've ever smelled. And normally, swear to God.
Doesn't have anything to do with a Pinot.
No.
None of that.
No.
Earl Grey tea should be... I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to say, normally when they write this wax stuff in the review, we can't find it anywhere. Right.
But tea might be in Syrah sometimes,
It
maybe?
Smells like a fancy candle. I mean, it really does.
It really does.
I mean, you're like, is this... What is... It's wine? No, it's not. That's from the...
And it's...
Read those four things again. What are those four components?
Effusive white pepper.
Yes.
Smoked paprika.
Yes.
Earl Grey tea.
Heavily.
Heavily, yes. And nutmeg notes.
Heavily. The least is the paprika. White pepper. Huge white pepper. Massive Earl Grey.
Earl Grey is lovely because it's a little bit of a sweet nose without it being like sugary sweet.
It's a gorgeous nose, but the wine itself.
So that's what reminds me of the paprika, because you get different paprikas. You got smoked paprika, but you also have that sweet paprika that has that little sweet pepper nose.
The wine itself, though, is a tawny color, almost. Yeah. Cranberry. Now, that has one other review, and this is by the wine enthusiast. Now, unfortunately,
you didn't even print that off for us.
I did. It's there.
But I don't have it. I only have four sheets.
I'm sorry. Anyway.
Only four sheets of the wind.
The enthusiast was not overly enthusiastic. They only provided 88 of their points. And this is Christina Picard. So she wrote.
Jean-Luc's daughter.
Yes, that's what it is. A dusty cherry hue. This is a spicy and oaky expression of Pinot. Bursting with black pepper, thyme, anise, stalks, and stones.
What?
And just as prominent, if not more so, than the red currant fruit. The oak and stocky characters are prominent on the palate too, and the tangy fruit gets slightly overwhelmed. Tannins are a little astringent, and the cool climate of this region and vintage is on display. It's a style some will love and others won't.
Sticks and stones will break Picard's bones. What is she taught? That's a lot.
It is. She did not like this wine. But she begrudgingly gave it 88 of her points.
She wanted to like it.
Yeah, they They gave 86 to Predator and Dornfelder.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, the enthusiasts can go fuck themselves, but whatever.
What an interesting nose. I can't... Yeah. I just can't get past this nose. It's just... But will the wine be as interesting as the nose?
I don't know.
Miss Picard doesn't think so.
No, she did not like this. Let's go in.
Okay, first impression. Just when it hit my palate, that it's heavier than a Pinot might normally be.
Is that bacon fat?
Yes, as it develops, yes. Oh, wow. It's long, isn't it?
That's the only thing I got out of my first sip was, oh my gosh, I think that there's bacon fat running through this.
Well, first of all, it tastes like wassail. It tastes like a spiced wine almost. There's so much, you know, herb, you know, your nutmeg is just so prominent. And it, by the way, the finish hasn't stopped. It's so prominent on the front palate. It's still expanding across my palate, by the way.
I would take it past bacon fat to beef fat.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Wow.
It's...
Talus.
Tallow.
Yeah. It's extremely long. The wine itself is medium-ish bodied. It has a prickliness to it, though.
The peppery.
Mm-hmm. But ever present.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is white pepper, though, right? Don't you think that?
I think they're both there, to be honest with you. The nose, I didn't get black pepper, right? But the nose was white pepper, right? You know, I think
it's astringent.
I think we should give that review more credit.
Who?
After we mocked her.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot going on, and it's unusual. And the part where she nailed it is, this is not going to be for everybody.
Yes, but it's not an 88 either. No. Some people would not. I mean, yes. However, that doesn't mean it doesn't have merit. And an 88 from the enthusiast suggests it doesn't have merit.
It does. And that. This is not my style of Pinot, especially. I'm shocked it's from New Zealand. I really am.
It sounds like, because I'm not familiar with this valley, I'm not sure where it is in relation to anything else. It sounds like it might even be, it's just a cooler climate and it's just producing something like this. Yeah. This almost comes across as like a two-thirds scale of a big Cali Pinot from Sonoma that is very expensive, extremely expensive, but it's a two-thirds scale because it's not as rich and opulent.
I honestly, when I was drinking it, I thought, you know, this isn't my style of Pinot, but if I had this in a cab, you know, like the pepperiness, the fat.
Some of the flavors.
Yeah, the flavors.
Not necessarily the body, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No. I'm just saying if these were transported into a cab, we would all be like, Oh my gosh.
There's extremely interesting upper level stuff going on in this glass. There really is. Mm-hmm. The question is it something that you find pleasing? Not to say that backhanded. It's really an honest question because stylistically, it is unusual in and of itself. Not to say that we haven't had strange Pinots. We had the last time we had Italian Pinot. It tasted like a Syrah.
Yeah.
It didn't taste like Pinot. This does have Pinot characteristics. You would probably, you're not probably going to mistake this for something else. Probably. I'm going through my Rolodex right now.
Especially the coloring of it.
Well, but yeah. I was going to say, if you didn't see this, if you were tasting this blind, well, I don't know about that. And
I don't know where I would place it either.
There's that. But, you know, it looks like a Pinot in the glass. Yeah. Other than that, I just wouldn't. Because it's more medium towards full bodied. It's not full bodied, but my first impression was this is heavier than a Pinot. This is an oddball, but I love it. I
love it too.
We need to break this down more. We need to break this down more and then compare it to.
Here's
the
question though.
Review
this doesn't.
She may be more spot on.
This doesn't come across as any other mainstream varietal.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. It doesn't. And so when you think about that, you're not going to mistake it for anything else that you normally drink. So then it doesn't taste like a blend of something either. So where are you going to be left with in a blind tasting? It doesn't taste like most generally the Pinots you normally drink. Yeah. But where else are you going to be? There's no place else to go, unless you're going to say some varietal.
This tastes
like vampire blood. You don't know. I don't know any other variety. I mean, the only thing that I would suggest, the only thing that might throw me off, but it won't because of the body and the way it comes across, would be a Pinotage, but it doesn't. I mean, it's not a Pinotage.
I know. I think I would probably say it's from somewhere in Europe just because.
Oh, I would never know that. Yeah.
I was thinking that too, like, just because sometimes you get some really weird funk flavors that showcase themselves differently.
Maybe an odd, you might say it's Pinot, but you might say it's from Transylvania. You were not going to say it's from California.
Uh-uh.
You're not going to. Well, I mean, we might say it's from France because we don't know. high-level Burgundies that well.
One time you mentioned the Count.
Yes.
There's no way I would say New Zealand, though. I know I wouldn't. Because there's no fruit element to it. There's no, yeah.
Two syllables yeah, in but this is a Zealand.
But there's a difference between, you know, Kim Crawford or one of those bigger label stuff and then this.
I'm not saying that it is a negative. I'm just saying I know I wouldn't get there. I also think that maybe the tea would, I think that would help me make some clues that this is a Pinot, but I don't think it would help me with any direction of where it's from.
It's so interesting. Let's break it down.
It's very interesting. I still hold by my position. I would have a hard time saying going to Pinot with this.
Yeah. It's so different.
I don't know. But like I'm saying, whenever you're doing this, there's always a process of elimination. You're gonna eliminate 95% of the stuff.
Oh, yeah. You're going to know this isn't a Zin. This isn't, you know, you're going to be able to make.
I don't know where else we. I mean, because it does have a little bit of the element. What throws you off is that the spice and the herbaceousness and like that allspice nutmeg that's running, coursing through its veins throughout the wine, and even a touch of pine. There's a little bit of pine there, too. Mm-hmm. So much is there. But if you strip that away, what you have does resemble Pinot a little bit, especially in the front palate, because you do have a little bit of that mulled cherry and whatnot. I mean, that's there for me. That's what I would see and notice. I wouldn't necessarily get lost in all the tinsel. Now, if I'm going to say where it's from, I'm like, earth? Because apparently, this is the way this area tastes. So now we know, and now we would say that, but we wouldn't before.
Yeah, I think I would remember it, too. If you sprung one of these on me in a couple of years, I'd be like, oh, I know where this is from.
Well, you're never going to forget that. Mm-hmm. Now, like Love Block or any of those, those are just more muscular, normal tasting Pinot Noirs. Maybe a New Zealand style, but this is so terroir driven.
The fruit is very soft.
It is muted.
Go rhubarb. I like what you said, nutmeg. I think, I don't know that I'd pick nutmeg, some type of earthy spice.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Nutmeg or,
almost like,
you know.
Almost like,
turmeric.
I was going to say turmeric or.
Yeah, a little turmeric.
Both peppers, the white pepper and the black pepper. The black pepper's definitely in the finish, not towards the front. But the white pepper is oddly in the front palate.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as it hits as soon as you draw air over it, that white pepper's there. But I'm sticking by that rhubarb. It's like,
I mean, the flavor
is rhubarb in a strawberry rhubarb pie, but without the strawberry.
Well, yeah, there is a bit of a stemminess to it. So normally rhubarb, you're going to say it's maybe a little stewy and stemmy kind of fruit. Mm-hmm. And it is a little bit like that. Normally rhubarb has a little bit of a sweeter edge to it. This doesn't have that. I think it's more of a muted cherry, quite frankly. I do get, though, that it is slightly muddled in a certain sense because, you know, and that might take you to rhubarb, but I think it's more of a tart, muted cherry. Mm. If I was going to, Morello cherry.
Probably. Why don't people make cherry rhubarb pies?
They do. My mother used to.
Cherry? Did she? Not strawberry?
Yeah, because she had a cherry tree.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I hate rhubarb.
Rhubarb makes a great pie.
Strawberry rhubarb pie is the best.
If it's done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Key to a strawberry rhubarb pie is a hearty crust.
Mm.
Because it's such a liquidy pie, you have to have a hearty crust. You have a weak crust, you're not going to have a good pie.
That sounds so good.
So let's go around the room.
What do you think about the oaking on this?
I think it's subtle and clever, and it's also bringing about a lot of the spice and what we're not. And it's really where the length is coming in. The length is exceptional in this wine.
They do a good job. It's a bit of an oddball, and I wonder if that's terroir or if that's through the all the oddballness of this is through oaking and the treatment of it. But
there's also something in the mouthfeel that's almost like slightly oily or waxy at the end.
And this is going to be extremely high praise, but I'm not comparing the quality. I'm just comparing what sticks out into my mind. This wine's herbaceousness, this wine's, you know, the turmeric, the nutmeg, the slight pine notes, they're so pronounced in this wine. The last time I had a wine that was this pronounced in a certain sense, not these flavors, but that type of thing, was eucalyptus, and it was in Heights Martha Vineyard Cabernet.
That's high praise.
Well, but I'm not saying this is that quality. I'm just saying,
but still, it's there.
It's that distinctive. Yeah.
Did you say oily or waxy?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what it is.
No, I like that. And it's in the finish. It's it's a weird location. I missed that. And I like the waxy, oily or waxy. But
I almost think it's, and I don't know if it's because they're. I said that about fat, but it's almost like when the texture you get when you have some fat, like a little piece of meat
waxy.
Fat.
No, particularly with tallow, you know, you get that waxier thing going on that coats your tongue and you just can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's really similar to this waxiness.
I feel it on my lips too. Like it's,
I can't feel my lips anymore. That's a problem I have, but.
It's a really great wine.
It's so unique. It's honestly a little bit hard for me to wrap my mind around because it's so different.
It's
oddball.
But.
Okay, let's go back and read Ms. Picard's review again.
I'll read it.
Go ahead, Wilford.
Okay. I'll read Christina Picard's review. A dusty cherry hue.
I can't listen to you in that voice.
Well, I don't care. This is a spicy and oaky expression of Pinot.
Okay, let's start with that. Do we believe it's a spicy and oaky expression of Pinot?
Check.
I think it is, but the way that it's not a traditional spicy.
And it's not a traditional oaky.
Yeah.
I'll give it that, but we like the way this is oaked.
Yeah.
We like the spices in it.
But the oak isn't the central feature. It's not like that Parducci small lot where it was oaked. This isn't like that.
It's
the
okay.
Oak is interwoven and it tastes organic to a certain extent.
I'm a little bit annoyed with her review.
Robert.
Because
Wilford,
she was very
needs to continue.
She's very flip about. It's a style some will love and others won't. Period.
Yeah, because she.
See, I totally agree. I agree with that. The second I tasted this,
I agree with it too. But she just is very flip about it.
Yes, and then she goes gets Mayomi out of her cellar to drink.
But it's it's not because they're just there should be an additional sentence.
Yeah, because I'm sorry, it doesn't taste like Alewan. She just doesn't know what she's doing.
No, it just is stylistically so different that some people won't like it. It doesn't have anything to do with
anything wrong with the wine.
Or anything wrong with the drinker.
I think if you continue with the review, you'd see that she's spot on.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Oak and stocky characters are prominent on the palate, too.
That makes me think of your rhubarb comment. Stocky.
Well, yeah. And the tangy fruit gets slightly overwhelmed. No, it doesn't.
The fruit's very subtle.
But it
overwhelms the wrong word.
Yeah, well, it does. It is the wrong word because it doesn't need more fruit.
No.
It is what it is. Tannins are a little astringent. Okay.
Fair enough.
The cool climate of this region and vintage is on display. It's a style some will love and others won't. It's a wine that challenges you. Let me just state that. It's not a wine that. It's you're going to sit back and sip and just say, I'm not thinking about this wine tonight. That's not what this wine's about. Okay. It is about complexity. It's about length. That's what it's about. It's a wine drinker's drinker. It's a Pinot drinker's drinker. That's what it is.
And not just a Pinot drinker's drinker. This is a red wine drinker drinker. This is a thinker drinker.
It is.
This is. I don't know that complex is the word I would use. It's unusual. The elements, particularly as they're all put together, It's unusual. You really have to think outside the box. It's like, I missed the waxiness until you made the comment about the oily, waxy thing. I missed that. Even though I totally had the tallow, I missed the waxy, which goes right with it.
I'm very interested in the winemaker's notes where they said it would be a good pairing with duck. And that fattiness, too.
I can see that. I agree with that. Yeah.
But part of me is like, why would you even eat with this? Because that's where I'm at.
That's what I was going to say.
Why would you eat with it?
Well, because you're going to miss some stuff. It's going to cover some stuff. But if I was going to do anything, it's exactly what we're doing here. Just a meat and cheese board.
If you did a nice...
Maybe olives.
Sautéed mushrooms.
Something like that.
It would be lovely.
A little risotto, whatever.
Mushroom risotto. Oh, yeah. We'd love it with that.
No, but not a steak, not fish.
Well, no.
Not a roasted chicken. Uh-uh. Other than like cheese and charcuterie, I wouldn't want a big piece of meat. I wouldn't.
You know, I could see if you were... Like when I had my elk tureen, this would be lovely with the tureen.
It's a lot of fat.
It would work. This wine would work with that.
Okay.
This wine works with unorthodox earthy dishes, earthy based dishes, which is great, because the fruit is restrained. It's not a fruity wine. It's not designed to be a fruity wine. It is distinctive. I think the wine spectator got it right when they said fragrant and distinctive. It is. You're not going to forget it.
And the nose on this, because it's so unusual, is very special. The nose on this is very special. It's as distinctive and as unusual as the wine itself is on the palate.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's just a...
Would a traditional Pinot drinker... embrace this? I don't care. I really don't care.
Strangely enough, I have someone we can ask about that.
Thank you. This is a Pinot file.
Mr. Pinot file. In a normal voice.
You could do that.
Mr. Pinot file.
Yes.
How do you think this compares to other Pinots for Pinot drinkers, since you are the Pinot file?
See, on my website, I have my Scooby-Doo son, and I said it was a selection. I said the Whipper Spring is very good. It's not as good as Foxglove, but it's very good. And I said, I'm going to sell my website. And then that's what Scott said. I will give you $5 in nude pictures of myself. I said, I don't want that.
Let's move on.
I don't want to see that.
So anyway. That's true. But Scott, let's go back to this. You said your standard Pinot drinker. What is the standard Pinot drinker drinking?
Pinots.
But what Pinots?
But the Pinot Funk, the earthy tones, barnyard. This has none of that.
Scott, slow down. First of all, you're talking about Burgundian Pinot.
Okay.
That is one style of Pinot. There's also Cali Pinot.
And I'm not talking... necessarily Burgundian style, just some of those elements that you expect to have in a Pinot. You want the Pinot Funk. This doesn't have that.
No, you don't necessarily want the Pinot Funk. That's just one element. And this has funk. It's just different.
It's very different.
It's still earthy. It's still all those things. It's still crazy and wild.
Bring on the noise. Bring on the funk.
And it's really good. Really, really, really good. But if you drink Edelwein, you're not going to like this. Now, Edelwein is tasty, but... you know, it doesn't taste much like Pinot.
Triple B. On a Saturday night, when you wanted a Pinot Noir, if Rob broke this out, maybe you'd enjoy it, maybe you wouldn't. But you would not think this was like a Pinot.
Yeah, and I love Pinot. I would not say this is like my favorite. And the other thing I'm struggling with how to express is... it's not necessarily a wine you would sit down and drink and relax and have, because there's so much going on. Like, you would have it more of like a discussion wine, you know, like a debate kind of thing. But if you're just sitting on the deck relaxing, it's not the wine.
No. Late is very good for that, actually. Late is a very good,
fair enough,
relaxing wine.
So...
yeah, the four-note ponies that have good four notes that are all in tune. Those are great for that.
It just depends... You know, if this was the first time you had this and you were settled in for that, it might be spot on because it takes you by surprise. But if you were gonna, if you knew what this was, you probably wouldn't pick it for that. Mm-mm. You know, but
well, this is like I relax by reading about physics. You know, it is enriching.
It's the War and Peace of Pinot's.
No,
well, I don't know about that.
It's yes. more like you like to relax and read about social commentary.
Okay.
This isn't that complex. That's it's just unusual.
All right. Well, that's true. But nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. Because when we come back, we're going to put scores to these wines. We're going to say which one is best, which I think we know which one that is.
I mean,
but
it's pretty easy.
But nevertheless, folks, we're going to come back, sum up this episode, and show you what wine you should buy the rest of your life here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So, the reviews and the victory. Let's just see how we do here. We're going to start off with the Undaraga, their Cibres Gran Reserva Pinot Noir from Chile. And I'm sure everyone has written down their scores.
I'll go first.
Okay.
That's good.
So, I really like that wine.
Which one?
Undaraga Cibres. Would buy it again, and I recommend it, particularly for the price point. I just think it's easy mm-hmm. in an unusual way. It's got a nice tongue feel. It's not the most elegant, but as I think Triple B said, it's almost silky or borders on silky. It's headed that way. So and probably that's its best feature, although I like the tannins in it quite well. I did, you know, that acidity, you know, is a little weird, but it wasn't a bad acidity. It was clunky in how it appeared, but I loved the fruit, cherry, subtle strawberry, and don't forget the funk on the nose. But it's just, as Rob pointed out, the acidity makes it a little, I'm going to use the word clunky, but 87. But it's a $12 wine, folks. Easy to drink.
It's unreal, isn't it?
It's easy to drink.
It's pleasant.
And it really is pleasant. Pleasant's a really good word. And to some degrees, in the two wines, Becky pointed out that, you know, out on your deck, you don't want necessarily a thinker wine. Maybe in certain circumstances, the Cibres is a better choice than the Leyte Valley. Mm-hmm. Different settings. But 87 from Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
I gave this an 86. I said the nose was lovely. I really enjoyed the nose. Too much acidity, but the mouthfeel was nice.
Good. And in drinking it, I think this is somewhere between 81. No, it's not. I actually gave this an 87 as well. 86, 87. I mean, I'm fine with either one. It's solid. It priced right. It's not Apatagua.
It's not Apatagua.
But it's okay. And if you can find it, buy it. You're going to have a decent experience. And like,
and it is $12.99.
It's cheap.
I mean, holy cow.
It's yeah, it's cheap. It's a good wine. Smells like Pinot. Tastes like Pinot. Maybe it has some pops of acidity that don't belong there. Just let it open up for maybe an hour and a half, and that might blow off a little bit.
Yeah, but, you know, and also 2015, so maybe this is more of a drink now thing, you know? Mm-hmm. But if I saw Cibres again, I'd buy it.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's pleasant wine. Definitely recommended. Good, solid value.
A wine of this quality, you wonder when the next vintage might be a home run.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that they, I think that they do solid work.
Because let's be honest, the only thing that's holding us back from us scoring this one higher is that just the weird acidity. Uh-huh. And it wasn't a bracing acidity. It wasn't that it was too much acidity. It was just weird how it presented.
Yeah, it's just, it's lacking in a few areas. It's fine.
Would you say it made it incongruous? It made it.
Yeah. Just a little disjointed. It lacks the harmonious qualities that you want. But
the components are there. It's just not harmonious.
Well, it is what it is, and that's fine. Sometimes, you know, that's where, and I'm sure the other vintages, they might have something a little bit better, a little bit worse, but James gave it a 90. That means it's an 87 or 86. We already
what did you
that.
All give it for scores of integrity? Oh, well, yeah. Are we doing that at the end?
Yes.
Okay.
So now on to the Waper Spring.
The cat has given you a dirty eye for trying to do scores of integrity too early.
That's right. Cheating.
I didn't do it, cat. cat's talking.
The cat one is looking at you.
Cat one's going to make you drink Louisville.
It should be looking at Becky. Mm.
So, Scott, are you going to start us off on the Waper as well?
No, I'm not.
Oh, Triple B is then.
I will. All right. So my notes on this are the Earl Grey nose is just really phenomenal. I'm a big, big fan of that. It's so different. It's so good. I love any time that I have white pepper in a wine. It's such a nice. I love it. I honestly love it so much. It reminds me so much of Spanish wine.
It's better than a Zin, though. But it's okay.
No, but I'm just saying it is really good.
Mm-hmm.
The meat fat was, especially in the mouthfeel, was just a really different surprise I was not expecting.
I just got that, by the way. I just realized where you guys were talking
about.
Do
you see it?
I was just pretending earlier, but I just tasted it.
The meat fat flavor or the texture?
Both.
Isn't it different?
But here's the thing.
It's different, yes.
Don't know what I think about it.
But what is different about it is you get meat fat flavor.
Well, the piece of cheese that just accentuated it.
That texture there, that waxiness.
Throw me a piece of cheese. I want to taste it with cheese now. But I'm giving this a 90.
Hey.
It's not my cup of tea, but it is.
But it was your cup of Earl Grey.
It is very. I wasn't going to say very good. It is very good, but it's more like it grows your palate. It's a smart wine. That's what I was going to say.
An arty wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. It grows your palate
if you
in that.
Listen to Bjork, you would drink this one.
Easy.
That's not arty.
Are you one? You know. You like the furries, and you like the Bjork feather costumes.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you over the nose of this wine.
So for me, I'm in a range. I'm going 90 to 92.
But what's your score?
You got to give it a score.
I particularly like the nose was so unbelievable. The sweetness of the paprika,
yeah,
the white pepper, but all layered in that Earl Grey, so surprising. And then you got to the wine, and it had. This is just an unusual, almost you have to call it almost an oddball wine because it has things that you expect from a Pinot, but mostly I don't think of this as a traditional Pinot profile. I love the nutmeg, coriander. I loved the oaking of this wine was both subtle and spot on, and the finish. I don't think we talked about the finish enough. How long it was?
45 seconds? 50 seconds?
The length of this wine is going to go into 3 podcasts from now.
Yes, that's about where we are anyway. So
and. That, folks, is special. And it wasn't this big finish. It was just subtle and nice. And boom, right in the middle of it, there's black pepper.
Mm-hmm.
There's black pepper.
That's all you have to give, huh?
It's what I'm going to give. I want to give 92, but I'm not going to because it's 91.
Hmm. Now on to me. I always like a wine that surprises me. And this wine, it surprised me. The moment I took a whiff of that, I pointed to Scott to get him to smell it because it was so unique and so interesting. And I thought that that wouldn't carry over into the palate, but it did. It was unique. It was interesting. And that's the thing. It piques my interest. I learned something by drinking this wine. I am tasting, I assume that they have pine trees. I just am assuming that there is a forest and I'm there walking around. Mm. I transported to wherever the wine was made. This wine did that. Great wines transport you to a different place and you see the vines. You see it being, I mean, you just see it. And this wine does transport me in that fashion.
So does DMT.
Well, there's that. But I'm
I'll be honest, when you made eye contact with me for me to smell it.
You thought it was something wrong, right?
Well, no, but when I went to smell it, I expected it to be this proper Pinot nose.
Yes.
So at first different. It was off-putting because I expected it to be Pinot Funk, you know, Barnyard, because of your reaction. We're drinking Pinot. You had this reaction. I knew you wanted me to put my nose in there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't what I expected
you
either.
Didn't know which way.
I didn't. Honestly, my first nose, because of your expression, I was expecting it to be Pinot Funk.
Oh, no.
When
no,
I put my nose in there, I didn't know what I was smelling.
Well, I didn't know what I was smelling. I knew it was Pinot because I saw the bottle, and it does smell a little bit like Pinot. But the overall, I mean, just the essence of it was just so unusual that I went, what the fuck am I smelling? A fucking candle. It was just so different.
It was fantastic. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm giving it 92 of my points.
I wish I was brave enough to do that.
Hall of Fame.
So, Scott, what was your score, 91?
91.
Hall of Fame. In distinction, it's at the top shelf over there.
But I still stick by what I said, that Christina Picard's reviews, she may have got a different score than us, but she was accurate in what she said. She said the same things we did. It just didn't hit her the way it hit us.
Yeah, because she drinks Ayla one.
But stop being so hateful.
I'm just saying.
No, it's
she's
okay.
She's a chode.
Apparently, she doesn't.
That's a bullshit score.
Apparently, she doesn't appreciate this. But this is why
they give out points like certain people give out, you know, before they get married. You know, they an 88 from the enthusiast
booty. That's what it is.
But anyway, an 88 from them is like saying, well, normally you would open this out of a can. That's them. Mm-hmm. And she can fuck off because that's bullshit. Because she's not.
You're being mean.
She's not good enough to understand it.
So
I'm good enough?
It's fair enough, though, to say this is not for everybody. That I agree with.
Right.
But you should at least give it a 90.
So
good.
Yeah.
Let's do our scores of integrity.
Go ahead.
This is why this is another wine that's added to the list of why we do this show.
True. Yeah.
This is that wine. It's so interesting, folks.
By the way,
have to buy this.
So, the Undaraga, what did everybody have for their scores of integrity?
I said Rob would give it an 88 and Scott an 89.
Ooh, you're off.
Off by 3.
You're off by 3 right there. So, Becky, off by 3. Scott?
I went Chile versus New Zealand. I said Rob 90 on Chile, Becky 88.
You're really off. How many is that off?
That's off.
5.
Oh. Well, total, yes.
Yes. So, yes. No, yes. So.
What do you have?
I said Scott would give it an 87.
What?
And Becky would give it an 86. So I'm off.
No,
by
you
one.
Did not.
Yes, I did.
So, Scott did give it an 87. You were spot on.
Yes. But I'm sorry. I said you'd give it an 87. You'd give it an 87. I said 287.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I'm off by 1.
Jeez.
So then on to the Waypress Springs. Becky.
I said Rob 90, Scott 91.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So you're off by 2. Mm-hmm. Scott?
I thought New Zealand was going to be the big loser tonight, and I was wrong. 87 Rob, 88 Becky.
Well, you just lost.
So. I did. Well, I got it wrong. I guess Chile would win. Chile's been on a roll. Not tonight.
I
know.
I almost had it scored that way, and then I was like, nope.
And I had that thought. I said I figured Scott would give the Wapier Springs a 90, so I'm off by one there.
What?
And Becky would give the Wapier Springs an 89, so I'm off by one. So I was off by two, which means I win.
Yeah, I was off by five. I thought I did great tonight.
Well, you didn't because I did better than you. So I am the man with integrity, and I...
No, you won the scores of integrity. It doesn't mean you have any integrity.
And actually, I made this up, so that's what it means. So
no, actually... Becky made up the scores of integrity.
No, I did.
No.
Becky, did you make up?
I don't think I did.
No,
I did.
No, I did.
Scott, I think we need to stick
together. Everything about this show, I made it up.
That's not a false.
That is not true. False.
This podcast was my idea.
Correct. Well, other than that, but even Scott, I created him. So,
no.
Yeah, I did. Out of cat turds and urine. Yes, that's you.
No, it's just a spin.
Where did the licensed taxi driver name come from? I made it up. I own you. You're mine. I don't want you. I kept the receipt. That's okay. So, Wapier Springs, New Zealand is very victorious. They kicked the shit out of Chile. That's okay, though.
Chile was good.
They did a good job.
Yeah.
Bravo. Mm-hmm. But the real winner here is me. And
the real winner is anybody who drinks either of these wines, actually.
Yeah, they are, for distinct purposes. So, Wapier Springs, Hall of Fame, excellent wine. And, you know, Undaraga, you get the yellow ribbon. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B.
Tie a yellow ribbon round Undaraga tree.
You participated. That's what they get.
No, it's good.
We are good. It's true.
They get a participation sticker.
Yes. Mrs. Undaraga, your son's very good.
Yes. He's special. We think he has a sweet personality. Hey, that's what they always said about me. They said I had a sweet personality. It's like, thank you. When I was in the wine reviewers competition, I got a participation trophy. And then they took it back.
Yeah, they took it back.
Damn it. So, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.